All right, I'll stop here. Thank you.
Okay, I'm done.
I think actually that this is very instructive. I mean, I know that you are saying exactly what you believe, and I know that many, many, many Israelis, and I'm shocked at how it rivals Palestinians whom I speak to in their perception of Israelis and Israeli government goals and aspirations right now in terms of a zero sum. They want to destroy us under any circumstances. There's nothing we can do because they're illogical, irrationally opposed to us. And this goes to Ari's question about how can the U.S. win hearts and minds. You asked about Israel and what Israel's been doing to win hearts and minds in Gaza. Well, you know, I don't know what Israel, as a controlling, you know, occupying power and controlling power over Palestinian lives, it's limited in its ability to win the hearts and affection of Palestinians. Question is, what is the U.S. doing? What is the United States doing to present itself, not as an honest broker, we're Israel's ally, but what are we doing to present ourselves as a force that could help resolve the conflict? Yes, because we love Israel, but also because it's in our national security interests to promote a peace between Israel and all of our other allies in the region. And that, I think, is where we've fallen short. And that's where I think, the people who are dying right now, I don't mean the people who are dead, the people who are dying, the 3,600 injured so far, anything that we can do that would save even 50 lives,
even one,
would be a profound gesture. The fact that we refuse to do so, the fact that it doesn't even come up into our consciousness that it's something we should do, is, as an American, something that I find highly, highly, highly morally troubling. And from a policy perspective, I think it's a disaster. Now, to Peter's question, though, about what's Hamas thinking and why did they do this, I think there are probably lots of different answers to that. What I want to say is that you have to understand that both Israelis and Palestinians, in my personal assessment, have a very pragmatic basis of understanding why they support a two-state solution. Israelis don't support a two-state solution as a majority because they believe that Palestinians have an equal right to self-determination and statehood. They do it because they believe that, as Olmert has said, that Israel will have to become an apartheid state if it's going to keep the West Bank. So it's got to divest itself of the Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip in order to maintain its Jewish democratic character. And that's a very valid reason, and I accept that reason. I think it's an important reason. And that reason has nothing to do with the Palestinians. It's not a recognition of the Palestinians as equals. It's not a recognition of Palestinian humanity. On the same token, Palestinians accept a two-state solution. Why? Because it's the best deal they believe they can achieve. 22% of what they believe to be historic Palestine. They didn't ask for 50% of what they believe to be historic Palestine. They didn't ask for a secular democratic state. They didn't ask for a confederation or a binationalism. Why 22%? Because they believe that that's the most pragmatic solution that they can get. It's not a profound recognition of Jewish suffering. It's not a recognition of Jewish oppression in Europe. It's not a recognition of Jewish right to self-determination per se in the land that Jews had several thousand years ago, a polity. The Palestinians and the Israelis aren't at a period of moral reconciliation where they recognize each other as human beings with equal rights yet. The United States has to deal with that reality. We have to deal with the fact that both the Palestinians and the Israelis are responding to each other very, very pragmatically. And then they slide into, because they're looking at this very pragmatically, into the worst-case interpretations of each other's behavior. So Hamas starts with the perspective that we have a ceasefire, but Israel was supposed to lift the siege. They're not lifting the siege. They still want to overthrow us. We've got people rummaging through garbage in order to get food. That doesn't look well on us. We've got to find a way of breaking this pattern. We've got to try to convince the Israelis that there's a price to pay for starving us. The Israelis are doing the exact same thing in reverse. Hamas wants to destroy us. This is a group that doesn't accept our right to exist. We can't let them successfully rule Gaza. We can't let them successfully establish a polity over the Palestinian society. We must weaken them. We must make them see that they can't succeed. Those two negative perceptions towards each other, I think, meant that the two of them were destined to slide into renewed conflict. And that's, again, where the role of the United States comes in. Why didn't the United States step in to help both Israel and the Palestinians avoid this particular situation? We all knew the ceasefire was expiring on December 19th. Why didn't Egypt intervene? Why didn't other countries intervene to try to negotiate something between them that would, at a minimum, open up some of the checkpoints, open up some goods to come into Gaza, and that would stop that? Why have we, for 6 months, why did Egypt and the United States not work to stop the smuggling of weaponry from inside Egypt? Because, I mean, everybody talks about these tunnels as if they went to some kind of quantum alternate universe. These tunnels went from the Gaza Strip into Egypt, into the Sinai. Every single thing that came through, including oil, including goats, including food, came from Egypt, including the rockets. So where were our efforts to try to stop the rocket flow, but to try to bring up above ground the transfer of goods? So we're to blame, I think. We have at some point, I understand that the Israelis and the Palestinians can't think about each other rationally. The Israelis and the Palestinians are in a very emotional conflict. The United States is going to have to take a position where we're not necessarily engaging in their own ideologies. We support Israel for Israel's right to exist. We actually believe in Israel's right to exist. We don't take the Palestinian position that this is the best pragmatic solution. And on the Palestinian side, I think that we actually do accept that Palestinians have a right to self-determination. And so we do need to somehow find a way of reconciling these two nationalisms in the best way possible. So if we treat everybody as they're emotional actors, for sure. We were emotional too after 9/11. But if we assume that everybody's irrational, and that our response therefore must be irrational towards them, we end up in a very, very bad place. We end up where we are today. And so I think that that's why, at the end of the day, you can say what you want about Hamas. You can say that their goal is to destroy the state of Israel, etc. You can say that Likud's goal is to maintain control over the occupied territories indefinitely. Whether that's true or not is important for our tactical steps, but ultimately the United States has to help these two parties get to a place where they're going to live together and where they're going to provide security for each other.